All right, there we go. Give me 1 minute here to get myself situated. So hopefully today we're going to talk about faithfulness. That's what I'm going to talk about anyway, so I hope that's the right thing. And if not, then sorry. Right, so I understand this is our first Sunday evening here, but we've been learning about the fruit of the Spirit from Galatians chapter 5. So I'm sure this has been read already, but I want to just start at the beginning here and read a couple of verses from Galatians chapter 5. And I'll read a couple of verses now, and then I want to go back and take a look at a few other verses, maybe a little bit later. But before I get too far into it, what I want to do is talk a little bit about terms, definitions, and context. That still working? Seems awfully loud to me. So what I do for a living involves a lot of terms and definitions and a lot of context. And whenever I'm trying to, I'm sort of like a consultant. That's the easiest way to explain it. Helping companies that make medical devices get them on the market and understand the requirements that they have to meet to do that. Eventually, I'll figure out where the right spot for this is. So it's always important for us to understand when we're doing that in my career, the terms, definitions, and context. And I think when we're looking at the scriptures, it's the same that we need to understand the topic that we're talking about. Context is much more important, I think, in the scriptural sense than in my day-to-day work. But it's important to understand that. So when we talk about today about faithfulness, the context I want to look at that in is we're talking about faith. Faithfulness is really the attribute of someone that is faithful. And understanding that when we're talking about it in the context of Galatians chapter 5, we're not talking about the faith that leads to salvation. That's, of course, a very important attribute of faith and someone who is faithful. But and I'll explain why we're not talking about that particular type of faith in this chapter. I think it's maybe obvious to everyone. But as I was preparing for this, there were a few things that just kind of stood out to me. That I wanted to share with everyone here. I'm not exactly sure what it is that I'm going to offer you tonight, and everyone that attended the speakers training probably just went, oh. I was there. Attendance wasn't taken, so there's no evidence of that. So if what I say here is a little confusing or different, it doesn't reflect at all on the person who trained us. Training is maybe a little bit steep of a word to use there. We had a good time, but as I was preparing and trying to decide how I wanted to handle this, because you have really just one word that I'm up here to talk about today in a passage, and that word can mean a lot of different things. Again, given the context and the terms and definitions, so I've picked out sort of how I want to approach this, and hopefully it when I get through it'll all make sense, but. I'd just like to start now that I've rambled on enough with reading Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, and then we'll take it from there. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. So we're looking at faithfulness, and in some translations it just uses the word faith, not faithfulness. So just to kind of step back for a second and talk about the fruit of the Spirit, and maybe just a little brief thought on what to me when we say the fruit of the Spirit, what that means. So, like any normal fruit that we have, a fruit is something that grows. So when we look at a fruit of the Spirit, it's something that grows from the Spirit. It also, like trying to cultivate or grow anything, it requires our personal attention. Right. So when we talk about the fruit of the Spirit of faith, it's something that is a part of us. And again, this is why I'm not talking about the faith that leads to salvation, because when we're looking at the fruit of the Spirit, salvation has already occurred. I don't have the fruits of the Spirit if I'm not already a believer. So we're looking at this attribute of me as a person that will grow based on my my input, my attention to the things of the Spirit. And there's a list of them here, of course, in the passage. Faithfulness is what we're talking about tonight. But it is something that is, it's there because I'm a believer, because I have the Spirit residing in me. But of course, if I don't focus on it, it's not going to grow. There's an old proverb, and I think it's probably something that has gone through many different cultures. I've heard it in at least two different cultures. And what changes is really the animal, but the story goes that there's a father who's talking to his son, and you may have heard this before. And the father says, within every person, there's two animals that are warring with each other for domination. One is evil and one is good. And sometimes it's a bear. If it's a Native American, it's usually a bear. Other cultures, it's a wolf. They're warring. And the child asks his father, which one wins? And the answer that the dad gives is whichever one you choose to feed. So the one that you choose to feed gets stronger and ultimately controls your life. And if we go back and look at Galatians chapter 5, in this context, in verse starting with verse 16 through the end, verse 26, this is really that same sort of proverb, if you will. But it's in this case, we're talking about our spiritual life. So if we go back to verse 16, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you will not, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish, but you are led by the Spirit. You are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I told you in the time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. And as we read through that list, that's a direct contrast to the first verse I read, which are the fruit of the Spirit. So it's really looking at, these are, again, attributes that we have as believers, but we have to choose to focus on them, to nurture them in our lives in order for them to take place. So if I look specifically again at faithfulness, it means to be full of faith, or the attribute of someone that is full of faith. And that doesn't just happen. It's not automatic when we come and we acknowledge the sacrifice that Christ made on the cross. We aren't automatically going to be someone who portrays faithfulness to the world. But that's ultimately our goal. And when we look at the fruits of the Spirit specifically, and I keep saying plural, it's actually singular in the text, the fruit of the Spirit. The whole purpose of the fruit of the Spirit is, it's for us to take on the characteristics of Christ, to become more like Christ, to emulate him. And the list of things there in verses 22 and 23, those are attributes that Christ had. Our goal as believers should always be to try and be more like Christ, to try and emulate him. And the primary reason for that is, as we do that in this world, will draw other people towards us, which ultimately then draws them to Christ. People will want to know why we stand out, why we're different. Of course, if we are. If we're not standing out, if we're not different, then we aren't nurturing those fruits of the Spirit, and we aren't putting on the character of Christ. But if we do, we'll stand out in this world, and that will usually lead people to ask, maybe not always politely, What's different about you? Maybe what's wrong with you? Why are you so much different? And that gives us the opportunity then to share the gospel with them. And really, if we, in my opinion, looking at what is being written here in the text, that's the point. The point is to focus on the things of the Spirit. Once we have come to that point in our lives where we acknowledge it's we aren't enough on our own. Christ came to this world, died on the cross for us. Our goal is to put on Christ in our daily lives, to emulate him, and then to draw other people to him. So in specifically looking at faith or faithfulness, there's many different ways that we can do this. And one example is those of us that are here right now, we're being faithful to that calling to gather with those of our like faith. We can be faithful in our lives to our employer. We can be faithful in our lives to our spouses, to our kids, to our families, to friends. We can be faithful in paying bills. I mean, these are all things that you can fit into the definition of the word faithful. But here in this text, in this passage, we're talking about trying to put on the faithfulness that we saw in Christ and emulate that in our own lives, to culture that attitude and to let that grow so that it can be shown throughout the world. And we know that it's important that Christ was faithful because I believe Christ had a choice. He didn't have to come to this world and die on the cross. He could have said no. We're the same as any of us can say no to the gospel message. That Christ wasn't some sort of a robot or being that was created simply for this purpose that he had to. He made a choice. And I think when he's in the garden, that's clear. When he's asking, if there's any other way, let this cup pass from me. But then he concedes that he will do the will of his Father. And that is that's his faithfulness to what his Father has asked him to do, even though he knew that that was going to be a terrible situation. It was going to be physically difficult, painful, but also that moment of separation from the Father that he had never had before. I don't think we'll ever really understand what that was. But my thought on that is that was most likely a bigger issue for him than the physical pain that he had to endure. That communion between Father, Son, and Holy Spirit was broken as he took on the sins of the world. And he did that because he was faithful to the calling that was given to him. We see in Hebrews chapter 11, and I want to turn there just very briefly, but in Hebrews chapter 11, we have a list of what I'll call the older folk that walk through some of them that were faithful. And what it was that they were faithful. I only want to read the first couple of verses here, first three verses actually in Hebrews chapter 11. And I'm going to cheat here. It's much easier to get it on my iPad than it is to flip through the pages, because I can't recite the books of the Bible out loud while I'm standing here. I mean, I probably could, but it might be a little bit difficult as I start singing them for everybody. So in Hebrews chapter 11, again, we know this as the Hall of Fame of Faith, or the Hall of Faith, however you learn that. And it goes through some people that we are all familiar with and how they portrayed faithfulness. And these are Old Testament people. So just the first three verses, because this helps us a little bit with the definition of faith. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, for by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of the things which are visible. And so again, just understanding that faith is, it's something that's unseen, but the faithfulness itself is seen. That's what, when people look at us, if we're nurturing that attribute of our lives, people will look at us and they will see that we're faithful. What that means is they'll see that we're full of faith. Another way to put this is it's reliable. We're reliable. They can rely on us in different contexts for different things. And we don't talk about it that way in currently in the English language. When we go out, we don't say to our friends, you know, you can have faith in me. We say you can rely on me, maybe, or you say, I promise I'm going to do this. But all these things lead back to that concept of being faithful or having the attribute of faithfulness, that people can rely on us. When we look at, again, this particular passage that we're talking about in Galatians, I think it means more than just faithfulness to God. I think when Paul is talking about the things of the world that are lusted after, and then the fruit of the Spirit, he's trying to pull out from people that they need to focus on the right things. They of course need to have faith in God. That's what saves us ultimately. But after that, We also need to nurture this this faithfulness in our lives. So again, we draw people to Christ by the fact that we're different. So we have to take time to dedicate out of our lives, out of our schedules, to nurture this this attribute, this faithfulness. And it's not an easy thing to do. I think many times we don't know what our faith is like until it's tested, and it can be tested in many different ways. But of course, as it's tested and it survives, it continues to grow stronger and stronger. And that's what ultimately will show to the world. So what I want to do now is talk about just a couple of things. And I've got a few verses I'd like to read. Depending on how much time we have, we'll read a lot or we'll read a little. But in the job that I do, when we're trying to understand something, usually a problem, we're trying to understand how a particular problem occurred. This is not a problem that we're trying to solve today. Maybe it was for me, trying to solve the problem of what I'm gonna say when I get up here. But we apply what we call the 5-why approach. And the idea is that you ask, why did something happen? You get an answer, you ask why that answer, and you do that 5 times. And by the end, everybody hates you for asking questions, but you may have a good understanding of what it is that you were trying to figure out. So I'm going to apply a similar approach here, but I'm going to call it the 5 W's. These are all W's that we're all familiar with, I would assume. It's who, what, where, when, and why. So when we look at faithfulness as an attribute of our lives that is grown from the Spirit that we have to cultivate, I want to ask those questions. Who, what, where, when, why? Maybe how, if we have a little bit of time, but how is sort of dependent on the situation. So if we go and we ask this first question, how I will phrase it is, who should be faithful? And I think that's a pretty simple answer, right? So we are all called to be faithful. We're called to be faithful to the Scriptures. We're called to be faithful to our spouses, specifically to our children. There's passages in the Scriptures that we can point to for those things. But the idea is that all of us who have chosen to follow Christ, again, going back to what is the fruit of the Spirit, it's us trying to put on the attributes of Christ and to wear those here in this world. So we are called to be faithful. And certainly that's exactly what Paul is writing in Galatians chapter 5. Don't be like the people of this world. They are lusting after the flesh. And we hear in other passages, they're going to have their reward here on this earth. That reward can't be taken with you. Certainly, we all want to take our rewards with us. But those rewards that we're collecting, that we're gathering up, are not earthly things. They're not possessions. It's an eternity with Christ after we've accepted that sacrifice. And if I look specifically at the fruits of the Spirit and those other attributes of the world that we read, there's really probably two that I would say faithfulness is sort of a direct contrast to. And I wrote them down here. And now in my notes, I'm having trouble finding them. So maybe I'm just going to go back to Galatians chapter 5 and pull them out. But I think there's two of the things listed there in the list of the works of the flesh that are directly contrasted by faithfulness. So I really wish I could find them in my notes, because now I'm going to have to take a minute to figure it out. And one of them is I think it's idolatry and adultery were the two that I had picked out as being things that are directly contrasted in the life of a believer by the attribute of faithfulness. So if we're faithful to God, we aren't going to be following after idols. And an idol can be anything. It can be a lot of different things. If we are faithful to our spouse, we aren't going to be running off in adulterous situations. So these are two things that Paul is pointing out, that there's a direct contrast to faithfulness, which is the attribute or the fruit of the Spirit that we would take on. So we're called, who is us, we're called to be faithful. And what that means is that in our lives, we manifest this reliability to people around us. And again, depending on the situation, that could mean a lot of different things. So I don't want to rehash that at all, but we are the ones who are called to be faithful. So the second question is what does it mean to be faithful? And I've touched on this a little bit already, but it can mean a lot of different things at a lot of different times. I think ultimately what we can interpret this as is when we hear the voice of the Spirit moving within us, we hear that calling, that little voice in our head. Some people may call it a conscience, but we listen to it. And when we listen to it, then we're able to do the things that we're being called to do. We're being faithful to the person who called us, to the Spirit, to Christ, to God, who's called us to take those actions. It could be something simple. Sometimes we hear that call, maybe I should pay for the coffee of the person behind me in line. Very simple. But we hear that, we respond appropriately, we're being faithful to him who called us, and we don't know what's moving around us spiritually. Maybe when we get to heaven, we'll see all the things that we could have done differently, all the things that we did that had an impact that we didn't even know about. But this is hidden from us now. We don't always know, and there's not always an immediate response when we do something like that, when we're faithful to that calling. But if we aren't, then we're missing out. And it might not just be us that's missing out. There's other people that are missing out as well. So we have to make sure that we focus on that in our lives. We understand when there's something that we've committed to do, or there's something that we feel called to do, that we express our faithfulness and we do that. Again, we put on this attribute of Christ and we stand out to the rest of the world. If we're not reliable, if people can't trust that we're going to keep our promises, if we don't do the things that we say we're going to do, then we're going to have less of a probability of drawing people to ourselves, drawing people to Christ. If I can't convince people that I'm someone they can rely on, I'm probably not going to be able to convince them they should join me here in this building if they don't believe in the things of Christ. I have to be in a position where they respect me, they understand my positions, and they're willing to concede maybe that I have something to offer them because they can rely on what I'm telling them as being true. So this is, of course, the great commission that we have is to share the gospel with others. But if we're not reliable, we're not going to have that possibility in our lives. So the next two are sort of really simple. So where should we be faithful? And I wrote in my notes, like, duh, the answer is everywhere. You know, it's not like we're faithful only here on Sunday mornings, or we're only faithful to come here on Sunday mornings, maybe Sunday evenings, maybe Wednesdays. But it's something that if we're putting on this attribute of Christ, we're always to be faithful. Now, none of us are going to be perfect. We certainly aren't going to always hit the nail right on the head. But that should be our goal. Our goal should be that wherever we are, we're being faithful. And again, not just to Christ, but we should be faithful in our lives to those around us, that we would express to them they can rely on us, that we can do the things that we have set out to do, that they can trust us, because that allows us then to bring them into the fold if they're not. And of course, if we're talking about relationships with other believers, certainly we don't want to be in a situation where, because we're not reliable or we're not faithful to the things that we should be faithful to, we're creating divisions amongst ourselves within the church with other believers. So we should always focus on that. And actually, I've got a sidebar note here. I know we're not supposed to have sidebars, but I got a lot of time. 9 o'clock, we're done, right? Nine. So when we were listening this morning to the message, and I had been reading through, you know, the Hall of Fame of Faith, and we're talking about Daniel, and you look at almost everyone that's on that list in Hebrews chapter 11, we know some not so great things about. I think the only one that we don't that's on the list, if my memory's recalling correctly, is Enoch. We don't really know a whole lot about Enoch. But we look at someone like David, and if you do a search in your Bible, electronic is a lot easier, a lot faster, and you find the term faithfulness, there's 27, at least in the New King James Version, there's 27 times that the word faithfulness is used. The majority of those are Psalms of David. where that phrase is used. So we know David was a person who we would say exhibited faithfulness. He was he had faith, he was faithful, and he had this attribute of faithfulness. But we also know he did a lot of things that he shouldn't have. And if we look at the other people that are on that list, they did a lot of things that they shouldn't have. So again, we're not called to be perfect. But what I was thinking about this morning was, when we think about Daniel, I couldn't think of anything that we know from the text about something Daniel did that he shouldn't have. Now, I'm not saying Daniel was perfect, but certainly if we study Daniel's life, he exudes faithfulness. At every point in his life that we know about, when he's presented with a situation where, as the speaker said this morning, you know, maybe we should just run away. You know, maybe we should try to improvise, try to take care of it on our own. Daniel never did that. He always relied on God. And not only did he rely on God, it wasn't a secret. When God came through for him, he never took credit. He never said, you know, hey, I interpreted this dream. I know what the dream is. This is what it means. No, he constantly points back to God. There's a God in heaven, the God of my people Israel, and only he can provide the dream and its interpretation. And he does this throughout his whole life. He never took a day off. And it wouldn't it be great, you know, and again, I'm not saying Daniel was perfect, but wouldn't it be great if we could say the same thing about ourselves? I know I can't. I take days off, probably more days off than days on. But it's again that where we should be faithful, we should be faithful everywhere. The next question is, when should we be faithful? And the answer is the same. We should always be faithful. If we take a day off, we don't know what the implications of that could be. If we ignore that call when it comes in, we don't know who was on the other end of that. We don't know what those ramifications are. So again, none of us are going to be perfect, but who, what, when, and where, it's always. Our faith should always be on. We shouldn't have the pause button to pause our faith and say, well, just for a little while, I'm going to do this. Well, I really don't feel like doing that. And I'm guilty of it, we'll say regularly, feeling that call and saying, you know, I really should do this. I really should do that. And, you know, I'm usually pretty good at acknowledging. I know that this feels an awful lot like the Holy Spirit poking me. Maybe it's on a Sunday morning. Somebody says something and, you know, comes into my head. Well, this would be a good follow-up to that. Or I've been really thinking about this week. I should share that with everybody. But you don't always stand up, right? You don't always walk up to the front of the church on the microphone, now on the internet, on Zoom, and say what's on your mind. But most of the time, I would say probably all of the time, that prodding is from the Holy Spirit. And we should be faithful to answer that call when it comes in. I would say pick up the telephone, just don't go far away with the cord, but not a lot of people would know what that means anymore. So the last question that I want to answer is why? And I think I've said this quite a few times. So please bear with me as I say it again. Why are we to be faithful? And again, we're not talking about the faith that leads to salvation. At the point where we're looking at faith in this context, that's already done. The Holy Spirit is now residing in me, and I have a choice. I'm going to either cultivate the things of this world, and I'm going to focus on those things, and then that's how my life is going to go. Or I'm going to focus on the fruit of the Spirit. I'm going to cultivate in my life the things of God, the things of the Spirit. I'm going to try to put on, as best I can, the cloak of Christ-likeness, so that when people look at me, they don't see me, they see Christ. And most of the time, I think if Christ was looking at me, I'd prefer he closed his eyes, right? And that's not what we want to do. But a lot of times we find ourselves in situations where we know this isn't where I'm supposed to be. This isn't what I should be doing. And if we're not wearing that cloak of Christ, that attribute of Christ, then we're not pointing people to him. We don't have that opportunity. And so that's the why we're faithful. We're faithful because when we're faithful, that makes us stand out. People in this world are going to recognize that. And if we don't have the ability to go to them directly and present the gospel to them, it may be that us wearing that cloak and looking at Christ, being Christ to that person, will have them coming to us to want to know what it is that we have that they don't. What are they missing that we've got? And the answer is, it's Christ. And that's really the whole point of being faithful in our lives, in our day-to-day workings. And it can be little things to big things. Maybe, like I said, it's just paying for someone's coffee. Maybe it's just saying hi to someone who's having a bad day, and that starts a conversation. But we have to pay attention to the world around us. If we look at Christ throughout the whole Gospels that we have of Christ being on this world and going around with his disciples, there's never a point where he says, I don't have time for you. There's never a point where he says, I am not going to love this person, or I'm not going to do this action for this person, as long as they're asking for it in the right way. And it's, you know, it's not a personal gain that they're looking for. Christ was always there. He was always accessible to the masses, even when, you know, he was very busy. I read a few weeks ago here on Sunday morning, the passage of when the lame man was lowered down through the roof of the building. And that's a situation where you could easily say, like, if I'm standing up here talking and someone starts hammering through the building of the church, I'm going to at least move out of the way. I'm probably going to start trying to figure out why they're doing that. But Christ didn't. He immediately stopped what he was doing, and he addressed the needs of that man. And it was based on that man's faith and the faith of the four, I assume, friends or relatives, probably not strangers, that were, you know, breaking through a roof to lower someone in to see Jesus. But he was, you know, Jesus was always there. He was always ready. And we have to do the same thing so that we have that opportunity to look like Christ to this world. There's a, now I lost the name, but there's a Christian artist who said something to the effect of, when people ask him what his purpose is in life, he says, well, I want to be Jesus with skin on. And that sounds a little bit weird. What he means is, I want people to see Jesus through me, through my actions. When I interact with people, I want them to recognize there's something different. I want them to understand what that thing is that's different, so that hopefully they can be brought into the fold as believers. So at this point, I've got a bunch of examples that I pulled out of the scriptures about the faithfulness of God. So again, we're called to emulate this attribute of Christ, of God, of the Spirit, and to put that on in our lives so that we can draw others to Christ. So I've got a list here. I'm going to read a few of them. I've still got a little bit of time, hopefully. But as I said, you know, most of these were from the Psalms. So how I started the preparation for this is I just went to see where in the scriptures we have the term faithfulness, because that's not one that we usually see a lot. And like I said, there was 27, according to the New King James Version, that I have 27 occurrences of the word faithfulness. There's about 118 occurrences of the word faithful, and then there's a whole lot of faith. So again, those are all tied together. Faith is the ability to believe in things that we can't prove, that we can't see. Being faithful is, again, having that faith showing in our life. And faithfulness is really that attribute of a faithful person. People look at that and say, wow, that's someone who is full of faith. They're exuding faith and faithfulness in their faithfulness in their life. So I just picked some random ones. I'm not going to read all 27. Most of these are from the Psalms. If you want to turn to the verses, please feel free. I have them all typed out in front of me, so I don't have to do that, because I didn't know if I was going to be pressed for time or not. So the first one that I've is Psalm 36:5. Your mercies, O Lord, your mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches the clouds. So again, when we look at God or Christ, you know, the Trinity, they're always there, always available, always reliable. Again, using that synonym for faithfulness, always reliable. And their faithfulness is beyond measure. We can't really even understand it with our small, feeble minds. Next one is Psalm 37:3. Trust in the Lord and do good, dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. And really, when we look at what Paul has written in Galatians, that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to take something that's of Christ and apply it to ourselves, to take what he's given us and let it grow in our lives. Like we would eat fruit, we can feed on the faithfulness of Christ. Psalm 40:10, I have not hidden your righteousness within my heart. I have declared your faithfulness and your salvation. I have not concealed your loving kindness and your truth from the great assembly. And that's what we're called to do. We're called to understand what it is that Christ has for us, to apply it to our lives and not hide it, to exalt it, to talk about it, to spread it out, as it says at the end of this verse, to the great assembly, to all those around us. Psalm 89:1, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth, I will make known your faithfulness to all generations. You know, that's the calling that we have, to put on that faithfulness of Christ and to show it to the rest of the world. Psalm 98:3, he has remembered his mercies and his faithfulness to the house of Israel, all in the ends of the heaven. Let me try that again. He has remembered his mercies and his faithfulness to the house of Israel. All in the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of God. Isaiah 25:1, O Lord, you are my God. I will exalt you. I will praise your name, for you have done wonderful things. Your counsels of old are faithfulness and truth. So an acknowledgement there that God, Christ, he is faithfulness. He is the term. He embodies the term. Lamentations 3:23, they are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. There's a song that goes with that one. I won't sing it. 1 Thessalonians 5:23 and 24. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. I pray God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calls you, who will also do it. And then the last one, Revelation 19:11. And I saw the heavens open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called faithful and true. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. So again, we know we've come to the point of salvation when we're talking about this type of faithfulness. But our job, if you will, our task is to look at Christ, to look at how he was here on this world, the things that he did, the things that he didn't do, how he addressed different situations that came up, and understand how we can apply those same things in our lives, how we can be faithful to those teachings so that we can in turn be faithful to those around us. We can be reliable and we'll draw others to ourselves so that we can show them Christ. That's the goal. The goal is to draw people in. So as we lift up Christ, not ourselves, those people are lifted up to him. So that's all I had for this evening. I'd like to close in a word of prayer. Lord, we thank you that we have the freedom in this country to come and gather with others of our precious faith, to dig into your teachings, to understand the scriptures, to learn how we can apply them to our lives, to encourage one another, to share them with those around us in the world. We ask that you would be with us as we go about our week, that you would help us to put on the cloak of Christ as we are out in the world, so that by his example, we could draw others to him through our actions, that we can be reliable and trustworthy and faithful to those around us. We ask that you would bless the reading of your word, that you would help us to apply in our lives. We ask all these things in your name. Amen.